You know, so there I was, fellas. I was at the skate park, just kind of doing some local maintenance, helping out, and some kid was talking shit. And he said, "You know what, old man, you can't hit that vert ramp right there." So there I was, Bello, on the edge of that ramp, and I dropped right on in, came right on out, and I hit a kickflip McTwist into a Christ 900 and landed perfectly, and I threw that boy right back in that boy's face.
Damn, that sounds dope. A Christ 900?
A kickflip McTwist into a Christ 900, Bello.
God damn. That is... Wow. That sounds crazy.
I mean, I'm surprised nobody videotaped it.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, it's outrageous. Like, where's a camera when you need it? Wow, I wish somebody got that on tape. That would have been cool. It would have been cool for me to get to see it instead of just try to envision this unprecedentedly awesome athletic feat.
Hey, well, it's gonna go down in the I guess wrestling redneck history.
Yeah. Next time you need a kickflip Miss Twit. I can't even say it. That's how complicated it is. You did it. I can't even say it.
Yeah, I guess going to the temple all these times, something's just starting to rub off.
Yeah, maybe you're taking a little of the magic home with you. I wish I was so lucky. You know who I wish somebody would take home with them, though, is Slapback. Because, like, you know, they're all right, but usually, like, in the history of the temple, they kind of switch the music up every so often. Slapback is just played out at this point.
I wish Dario, I try to get him to get some American bands in there. You know, they can do cover songs too.
Yeah. I mean, well, I was saying this, I think the CEO a couple weeks ago, there's generally been like, you know, like some sort of Mexican theme to these bands. And I don't know how Mexican Slapback is realistically. It's not really, I don't know. It just sounds sort of like a hip hoppy rock band.
Eh. I mean, I don't know. A lot of times I don't really pay attention to the music.
Yeah, that's
fair. Honest with you.
I can't say I blame you. There's a lot.
I mean, I'm there for the wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm there for the wrestling.
And you got to keep your head on a swivel. It is the temple. But yeah, let's go ahead and get right into the matches for this evening. Episode 99 of Lucha Underground, as Dario points out to us a little later on in the night. Let's go ahead and get right into it.
Here we go.
So cool and old school like A4, the one your little mommy winding up a waist for, the name that real niggas got their hand raised for. Me and Minnie got your block yellow taped off, so skate off. To the streets, to the beach, the bitches, the niggas, the women, the children, the workers, the killers, the addicts, the dealers, the quiet, the livers, the realists, and that's close. To the edge, back, middle, and front. Strong back, shit, lifting it up. From the big and the small, I'm like Jay Brown getting involved.
All right, so our first match is Drago, accompanied to the ring, of course, by Cobra Moon. And he's taking on the Mac for one of the ancient Aztec medallions that will get him a spot in the seven-way match at Ultima Lucha Trace, presumably, for the Gift of the Gods title. I just want to say, before we even get into the match itself, like, Melissa Santos, the way that she introduces everybody, like, she really just, like, embodies their spirit in word form. Like, when Drago comes out and she's, like, from El Inframundo. Like, it's just, like, she says it in just such a, I don't know, dark way, which is obviously where El Inframundo would be. So, you know, that. And then, like, the Mac is kind of, like, an uppity kind of positive guy for the most part. And she, you know, she announces name with, like, a big smile on her face, and she's, like, you know, she's as excited to see him go out there in Lucha as the rest of us are. So, thoughts on Melissa Santos?
Well, you know, maybe her time in the temple, she's starting to unlock some kind of hidden power, or like a banshee or a siren with her voice. She wields it like a weapon.
I like it, and God knows she may need it at some point in the near future if this whole Marty the Moth, Phoenix, Mariposa thing gets out of hand. She might need to harness some of those powers. But she's great. She's like a more dynamic Michael Buffer who happens to be a smoking hot woman.
I would actually prefer her over Michael Buffer, Bruce Buffer,
all the buffers.
All the buffers, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So there you go. But there was a match here, as I was saying. Drago taking on the Mac. Drago using his speed advantage a little early on, but the Mac's pretty nimble himself, and apparently playing some head games as he manages to slow Drago down with the middle finger. That's it. He gives him the finger, and Drago kind of takes a step back. Mac goes on the offense. He does a headstand in the corner into an upside-down twerk, which I won't lie, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of. Drago with a big enziguri and a tornado DDT, followed by a La Magistral cradle for a near fall. Mac gets up and hits him with a running forearm and a big boot in the corner, and a Saito suplex coming out for, I believe, a near fall as well. Cobra gets up on the apron and distracts Mac. Then the Mac turns around into a series of really stiff, really loud kicks from Drago, and a dragon snare roll up for the win. After the match, Mac hits Drago with the stunner and goes to hit Cobra Moon with the stunner as well. And then the Reptile Tribe, the remaining members, Vibora and Pindar, come out of the back, and they put a stop to this big choke slam from Vibora. And Drago walks away with an ancient Aztec medallion and the win here. What did you make of this opening match and the aftermath?
I mean, you know, it's amazing every time I get to see a real live dragon going to the temple. And then to see those dragons come out and beat the Mac up, you know, seeing a dragon in real life like that, it's amazing, because most of the times, like Game of Thrones, you know, the dragons they got on there, they're pussies compared to the dragons that we get to see in the temple, basically, is what I'm trying to say here. You know, the Mac, I kind of thought he was going to come out here and just run right over Drago with, you know, the size advantage. You said you didn't like his upside-down twerk on the turnbuckle, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was quite surprised to see the big man move like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have just done without the hip gyrations, large man speedo. None of this is adding up for me.
Well, I don't know, he's positive, he's a big large black man that likes to shake his booty. Does it sound like anybody else you know?
I mean, it sounds like a few people I know, but or do you have anybody in particular that you're thinking about?
Well, I mean, I was thinking of maybe the Day of New with the purple and yellow gimmick he's got going on.
Oh, okay. I could see where you're going there. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, I thought it was like somebody I knew personally, as you meant.
But, oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No, I meant other possible acts that are out there.
Absolutely. Yes, the Day of the New, they too would fit right in doing the upside down twerk. I could see that happening probably in the near future now, unfortunately. But, anyway, moving on from this match. I mean, the Mac gets the stunner in on Drago, but it doesn't end well for him, obviously, there. So, you know, Drago's going to be competing in this, you know, Gift of the Gods match.
You know, they must have found out he didn't celebrate World Lizard Day.
Yeah. I mean, we were a little late to the party ourselves, but luckily we got a little celebratory something in honor of Lizard Day. But, yeah, I mean, they may have sent the Mac back to when reptiles ruled the earth, or maybe the reptiles are about to rule the earth. Maybe this whole time they've been from the future.
Maybe that's why, maybe they're trying, I don't know. Maybe this is going to come to the blows here with the gods.
Maybe they're trying to bring the gods back. Maybe they got their own gods, reptile gods.
Oh Lord. Yes. What's going to happen to us all?
Yeah.
You're excited for reptile overlords?
I don't know. I mean, if the reptiles are going to come and save us from the other gods, they can't be that bad.
True. But do we know that those other gods are truly bad, though?
I guess we don't. I don't know. I guess we'll, I don't know. We'll have to find out. Whichever one the Clintons are siding with, we'll go the other way. the next episode of Lucha Underground, Dario Cueto comes out and tells us we'll be the 100th episode of Lucha Underground. And he gives us a little bit of the card that'll be taking place next week. The first match, he tells us, is going to be El Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on Pentagon Dark for an ancient Aztec medallion. We're also going to get Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma captaining Atomico's teams, which I believe are four-man teams. Johnny Mundo in Worldwide Underground, essentially, minus Jack Evans, taking on Puma and three mystery partners that he will announce a little later on in the night. Do we want to get into that now, or do we want to wait until a little later on in the night?
I mean, let's go ahead and get into it now. Yeah,
I mean, it really was not really nothing special in comparison to the matches that we get in particular. So, yeah, we might as well get to it. Prince Puma comes out at the very end of the night. He says he's thought long and hard about his opponents. Now, I don't know how long he's known about this match, but it hasn't been that long in the grand scheme of things, I'm sure. But Johnny Mundo comes out. He says nobody cares about who your opponents are going to be, and he's still going to take Puma to Slamtown at Ultima Lucha Trace, just like he did on the first episode of Lucha Underground. Puma reminds Johnny that weeks after that, Puma defeated Johnny to become the first ever Lucha Underground champion, and it wasn't the last time that he beat Johnny Mundo either. Johnny Mundo says, oh, well, if you're so confident, why don't we go ahead and make this interesting? Why don't you put your mask on the line? Which is would have put a rest to, you know, some of our questions from weeks ago here on For the Love of Lucha as to the identity of Prince Puma, but nonetheless, we're not going to find out, because Dario Cueto comes out and he says, I like the idea, I like where you're going, but we already have a mask on the line in Ultima Lucha Trace, and let it never be said that Dario Cueto has run out of original ideas. So he tells Puma he's going to need to put something on the line that means as much to him as the Lucha Underground Championship means to Johnny Mundo, his career. And Puma takes a second to think about it. Vampiro's like waving him off, like, no, don't do it, don't take this bet. Puma hits Mundo with a running knee strike, and he tells Dario he is very confident he could beat Johnny Mundo. He accepts. It's going to be belt versus career at Ultima Lucha Trace. Mundo versus Puma. What do you make of this?
I mean, I don't want to see Puma go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's definitely got Mundo's number, but I wouldn't want him to lose. I wouldn't want to see, I mean, Puma is Boyle Heights.
He is, yeah. And, you know, like, I'm seeing Vampiro shaking, and he's, I guess, to some degree, mentor.
Kind of his mentor. Yeah, his mentor. He's going to try to talk him out of it because he knows the importance of Puma in the temple and in Boyle Heights.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that, like, it's not that he doesn't have faith in Puma. I think we all know, as Puma even mentioned, like, Puma can beat Johnny Mundo. It's not a matter of, like, who's the better man here. Honestly, these two are very evenly matched, very at the top of their game competitors. Either man could win on any night if all things were even. But things are not often even when Johnny Mundo's in the picture. Like, you don't want to lose your career because Taya comes out and slides Johnny Mundo brass knuckles or something like that, you know? So that's, I think, where Vampiro was going there. Puma seemed to not be worried about it at all. I guess maybe him and his mystery partners plan on taking out Worldwide Underground next week. You think, I mean, who are some of Puma? We, by the way, we never find out Puma's partners and who they're going to be. Who do you think could be?
Oh my God, there's so many people backstage that could come out that Worldwide Underground has pissed off. Let's get to the point that, you know, Puma has Vampiro out there at all times too. You don't forget, he's always at the commentary desk. You know, Vampiro can easily get in there and help Puma deal with anything that, like, Taya or any of those other guys in Worldwide Underground could bring.
Yeah, that's true. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, and again, going back to the Vampiro thing, he could also be kind of trying to talk Puma out of this because that's Puma's sanity. Well, you know, his rest, Boyle Heights and Lucha Underground and the Temple is pretty much all the Puma's got.
Yeah.
And the way that Puma's been acting lately, two, 3 years down the road, Puma could be just living in a single bedroom apartment and just 300 pounds, beer bottles all over the place, close to just shooting himself.
The mask is, like, stuck on, his face has gotten so fat, yeah.
Yeah, the fat's just kind of, like, the fat's kind of coming out, the holes of the eye mask and the mouth holes and everything.
Oh.
It's just, yeah.
Puma, you'll let
it's
yourself go.
It's something you don't want to see. Yeah, it's something we don't want to see it, Puma.
No, we don't want to see it. Yeah, so, you know, Prince Puma, he's going to put that career on the line. We're going to find out what it did. I didn't get your pick for the mystery partners.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe Dragon Azteca Jr. He's got some beef with those guys. Vampiro, you never know. He could get called out. Maybe even Rey Mysterio's son, after the mess that Worldwide Underground pulled out 1 week, could be one of his mysterious partners. Who knows? I mean, even Rey could probably possibly come out if he's able to survive Matanza.
Yeah, there is that, and I was actually just going to get to that as well, because Dario Cueto also announced another match for next week. We knew, because we're all over the place here in the temple, but Matanza is going to be taking on Rey Mysterio next week. Dario also calls Rey out to the ring. He has a little something to say to him. He just tells him basically that Matanza is going to be getting a warm-up match tonight. He's going to be taking on all three members of the Rabbit Tribe, and he tells Rey to just go home. He's sick of looking at his face, or his mask, I guess, in this case, and just, tells him to just leave. Rey starts to leave, but he comes back and he says he's not going anywhere. So Dario tells him, if you don't leave right now, I'm going to cancel your match next week, which sounds great to me. If I were him, I would have totally signed up for not fighting Matanza, but hey, that's why he's him and I'm me. And he says, and I'll also cancel El Dragon Azteca Jr.'s match, which is against Pentagon Dark for an Aztec medallion. So Rey says, all right, you win. I'll wait till next week, but I am going to end the Cueto family legacy. And when I'm done with Matanza, I'm coming for you. Dario also went on to say that he would fire El Dragon Azteca if he didn't get out of the ring. There's this whole thing going on here. Rey, I will say, tried to big time Dario a little bit. He took his sweet ass time coming out to the ring. I think he sort of deserved all this.
Oh yeah, I mean not to. I hope Dario doesn't take any offense to this, but I mean he's a little over the line in all this. But you know what? When the owner of the Lucha Underground tells you to get out of his ring, you got to get out of his ring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When Dario Cueto tells you to come out here and talk to me. Like, you don't get the whole, just going around, and I think he went up on, all the turnbuckles and said hi to all the believers and shook hands and kissed babies. Like, no, I don't care who you are. Dario Cueto says come, you get into the middle of the ring and you ask him what's up. Like, again, it took him, 2 minutes to get out there and get all settled in. Like, fucking, the El Proprietor is out here. Just shut up and do what he says.
Yeah, El Jefe needs your attention.
Absolutely. So, but Rey Mysterio, defiant, and, has been beloved for that over the course of his career, so I guess we can't realistically expect that to change. But, you know what did change over the course of this night? First and foremost, it's worth pointing out that this night was so spectacular, we didn't go to the bathroom the entire time.
Oh, no, I held it in. I couldn't.
Yeah. It was...
No
churro break.
The seal never broke.
Yeah.
But as soon as the show was over, I ran right out of there.
Yeah, it was a mad dash to the bathroom. Apparently other people as well were in the same boat as us, but yeah, no churro break, no nothing. It was like, as soon as the night started, it was, action from beginning to end. So we get a first ever 5-0 street fight. Redneck, we were talking about some of our expectations about this. I think it's safe to say that they were just more than lived up to. I'll get into specifics here in just a minute, but the temple itself, transforms. We have cops everywhere and riot gear. There's a cop car. There's an ancient Aztec medallion on the line in this match as well, by the way. Cortez Castro, I think, is funnily enough just booked from the streets. That is his name. That is where his whereabouts are when he's announced by Melissa Santos. And I still don't think, most of the believers have put two and two together on this whole thing. Both of these guys are cops. We know this.
Yeah. Well, last week when you told me about this, I'd heard people the whole entire time in Joey Ryan's career sit there and say that he's a pig. And I never quite understood it. And then finally, when you told me that, it hit me. And I've had a week to soak it in. And, I can't believe he's a cop. I mean, I hope Cortez, I'm glad Cortez just did what he did to him tonight. I mean, it was an entertaining match, everything that they did. And the fact that the temple, I felt like I was going to go to jail. I kind of had to kind of stand in front of you so that the SWAT team there wouldn't get a good view of you. Because I was kind of afraid when all those cops started coming out.
I appreciate it, Redneck. Yeah, I got to, you know what? I don't think they're on to me. At least they haven't been able to put a face to the actions yet, so we'll let it go. I usually keep away from my home neighborhood anyway. So, I mean, like I said, I am going to get into the specifics here because this was a fantastic match. Joey immediately tries to run away because, you know, that's Joey Ryan. And the police, like, all surround him with their riot shields and won't let him go. Castro goes out, follows him to the outside. He hits a tornado DDT to the floor using the apron. Castro pulls a couple nightsticks out from under the ring. Joey grabs one of the cop's shields and throws it into the ring. He kind of props it up in the corner. He goes to the other side of the ring. He grabs some handcuffs. He punches Cortez Castro in the top of the head a bunch of times with the handcuffs, and he busts them open. Joey Ryan hits him with a nightstick to the back. Joey then grabs latex gloves and some baby oil, and there's just no other way of saying it, folks. He sodomizes Cortez Castro in the middle of the ring, who somehow uses his rectal muscles and hip shifting to shift his weight and send Joey Ryan into the shield that he himself had propped up in the corner. Castro now on the offense. He grabs a nightstick, but Joey Ryan rolls to the outside. Joey still trying to escape, but the police close him off yet again. He sidesteps a charge from Castro, which sends Castro flying into one of the cops. He picks Castro up and throws him to the other series of cops on the other side of him. A "We Want Donuts" chant breaks out in the temple. He grabs a couple more of the shields. He throws them into the ring. Castro hits Joey's head on the hood of the cop car. He then grabs a baseball bat from underneath the ring. He takes a swing at Joey's head. Joey moves out of the way, and Castro just hits the grill of this cop car with the baseball bat. Joey throws Castro onto the car. He grabs a sledgehammer. I'm gonna pause here. A fucking sledgehammer, Redneck. He busts out a sledgehammer. I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, honestly, it was just like, every time you thought, like, oh, my God, is there, could they do something else? They keep topping themselves and topping themselves. And like you said earlier, I mean, the temple was transformed. I mean, there were blue lights on top of the ring posts. There were red lights and other kind of lights decorated throughout the temple. They really, Dario definitely broke his budget decorating the temple. And the cop, I was so surprised when I saw that cop car over there. Because, you know, last week I talked about them possibly having a bike and the biker match. And you were like, oh, no, they wouldn't do anything like that. And then here this week they got a cop car. Maybe they were saving the money to spend on the cop car this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just baffled at how many cops Dario has on the payroll, right? Like, I mean, in order for all these guys to be out there in riot gear with a squad car, like, this has all got to be on the up and up as far as these guys' superiors go, right? Like, how do you explain this to your boss if you're just like a regular schmo cop?
And then now people can come out and say that you've actually seen these two guys assault those police officers too.
Yeah, I guess you could say that as well. Joey certainly.
I mean, is Joey assaulting the police officers because he threw Cortez into them, or is it Cortez that's assaulting the police officers?
I don't know. Maybe they could just blame each other and both of them will get off.
Yeah, true. Yeah, either way, I mean, when they start throwing all those shields in there, and then the sledgehammer, the bat, I thought somebody was going through that windshield of that cop car. I mean, this match was just one of the best matches I've probably ever seen in the temple.
Yeah, I mean, there was still much more to go. Joey Ryan grabs that sledgehammer, and he goes to hit Castro in the head, and Castro's just, like, laying on the windshield of the cruiser at this point. He misses twice and just puts the head of that sledgehammer, like, right through the windshield. Joey hits Castro with a low blow, and then a Uranagi, or I heard Matt Stryker yell, a cop bottom. onto the hood of the car. Joey drags Castro back into the ring. Castro kicks out at two. Joey starts stacking shields now, like in one of the corners of the ring, and they roll to the outside to the what appears to be a snack table. There's some coffee and some donuts there. Joey tries to hit Castro with a pot of coffee. Castro grabs a pot of coffee and pours it into Joey Ryan's trunks. Just, this was awful. and just when you think it was bad, it gets worse. Castro grabs a taser, and he tases Joey Ryan's balls. All right. I got to draw a line somewhere. That's pretty fucked up.
Well, you know, earlier we were kind of chatting back and forth between, you know, kind of talking about the match. And you said that he kind of no-sold the coffee hit. Well, you got to think, he's so babied up, but he's got so much baby oil and stuff down there that when he poured that coffee on him, it probably just kind of just slid right off, you know, not really hurting him.
That's, it's so true. It's awkward. It's so true.
Exactly. I mean, right. I mean, just that the water from the coffee and the oil from the baby oil, it's not going to do anything to him. It's just going to slide right off. Instant protection. And one thing I like too was the donuts on the floor. I wish Matt Stryker had some great calls tonight, because when he threw the box in his face and he drop kicked him, he called out there was a bear claw.
It's a bear claw. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I did say that Joey Ryan no sold the coffee and the taser to, because like, God, I mean, like, seriously, this is, if that happened to me, I'm still on the ground withering in pain either. Nonetheless, both of those actions. So, I mean, Joey Ryan, he does have some, I guess, just unreasonably strong genitalia for whatever reason. He's got super dick.
The temple enhances his dick strength, like, greater than what it already is. I mean, he dick flips people for crying out loud.
I was going to say, we have seen that outside of the temple as well with that Joey Ryan. So, I don't know. This was just, it was crazy. And just when I thought it was, it had reached a peak of crazy, Joey Ryan throws a box of donuts at Castro. He hits him with the super kick. They end up on top of the announce desk, and Castro suplexes Joey off of the table onto the floor. He grabs some pepper spray. He sprays Joey Ryan in the face and then hits him with a Michinoku driver onto the pile of shields that Joey had created from earlier. And Cortez Castro wins this match. Redneck, if you had told me that Cortez Castro would be in a 2017 match of the year candidate, I would have thought that would be the craziest thing we'd ever see in this temple, and it might just have been.
I mean, the temple does magical things, and I guess Cortez Castro and Joey Ryan just came to life in this match. And I, like you said, this is one of the best matches I've seen all this year, and we got to see it live in person.
Yeah, I mean, geez, like, this was just, I mean,
and for free. You know, normally Dario gives us those tickets, you know, kind of press. I use my quotation fingers as I say that. you know, we don't have to fly to Japan to go see those Okada Kenny Omega matches.
This is, you know, it's very true. And I'm just, man, I mean, how many matches has Dario Cueto announced in the past that we were like super pumped for? And they weren't necessarily disappointing, but they weren't like quite up to the level of like hype that we had created. This match just went above and beyond. Like, this was every bit as crazy as we could have ever imagined. We got a sledgehammer. We got balls getting tasered.
We also didn't talk about the pepper spray spot.
I said that. You know, I did mention that.
Oh yeah, that's right. And the fact that he, you know, you and I know Joey Ryan. Like I said, you think he'd be immune to that stuff?
Yeah. At this point, you figure he would. You know, maybe the balls are the only balls that can have any sort of strength. It weakens his eyeballs, and so they're just, you know, they're in a weakened state and susceptible to
pepper
spray.
Are you saying those are prescription sunglasses that he wears?
I'm saying it's possible, yeah, just for the temple, when all the energy and power rushes to his nether regions, he can't see so good.
I gotcha, yeah. I guess so, yeah. You got, I mean, if you're going to have, I mean, I don't know. I guess, would you rather have strong eyeballs or strong balls?
I think I'd rather have strong balls, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I guess, I mean, Joey Ryan's got him right there.
Yes, he does. I pray that neither you nor I nor any of our listeners ever get their balls tasered. Let's keep that professionals.
Oh, no, never.
No.
Couldn't pay me enough.
No. No, you could not. So.
Now that you said that, Dario's probably going to punish us with that one day.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I would not get my balls tasered even for an ancient Aztec medallion, which is what Cortez Castro walks away with. I'm very excited to see what he does in that match, because frankly, I've never...
What do you think his chances are? I mean, I don't think... I mean, he surprises tonight, yes, but I don't think he's going to go very far.
I don't know, man. I mean, I've never really thought much of Cortez Castro. The whole thing with... when he was working with the crew for a period of time, like early on in the Lucha Underground days, and then working like as Veneno apparently for a period of time. I never really thought much of him. He was sort of just like one of the guys that came out and got beat all the time. And it, you know, it's all right. There's a certain level of respect that those guys are due, but man, he put on a match of the year candidate, in my opinion. This was just spectacular from top to bottom. I didn't see this in him. And now, again, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what he could do in this seven-way match, which, you know, could be a ladder match, could be something crazy. It's definitely no disqualification. So we'll see what happens at the Gift of the Gods match.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I guess you're right. You never know if you got weapons and stuff involved. He won tonight using riot shields and hot coffee and stuff like that. So you never know.
Yeah, shit got real tonight, man. Baseball bats, sledgehammers, hot coffee. I don't know. The only thing it was missing was a dog.
Yeah. Oh man. That's kind of odd that he didn't have a dog there. I mean, he's got dragons. And moth people and butterflies and stuff like that.
Maybe there was a dog, but Matanza got hungry.
Yeah, true. Maybe that probably was. It was he. That's probably why we didn't. Well, he was. He. You know, we get to the last match. He seemed to go a little easier on the guys than the Rabbit Tribe than I thought he would. So maybe he had satiated his hunger with maybe a large German Shepherd.
Yeah, maybe he was just, you know, he just had a big meal. He was a little lethargic. But yeah, I agree. He did take it easy on the Rabbit Trapper. At least it appeared that way. Clearly, Dario, being the brilliant man that he is, he knew Matanza legitimately needed a nice warm-up match. And I think, you know, if this happens when Matanza's at peak form, the Rabbit Tribe are unfortunately skewered and probably, you know, served up pretty quickly. But they hung around here for a while. They did. You know, it's hard to tell if the Rabbit Tribe has a strategy, but it appeared that they had something of the sort, at least going into this match. They tried to give Matanza a top hat to, I guess, join the Rabbit Tribe.
I think they were trying to get him to come over to Masquerita Sagrada's side. I was kind of surprised by that. And he seemed to hold their hands and want to get involved in all those things that they were trying to do to get him to join. And then I guess he just... the monster ways came out of him, and he just snapped.
Yeah, he said, to, you know, come hail the great Rabbit King with us, and he was not having any of it. They tried to do the ring around the rosy spot, and Matanza, again, was not having it. Pretty much right out the gate here, I mean, they're all holding hands, I guess, is how the match starts, and he throws Malasuerte and Saltador into one another. But the numbers game kind of catches up with them a little early on here. Matanza then begins to try to divide and conquer them. But the Rabbit Tribe is very vigilant. Like, they just keep coming from all sorts of angles. They're hitting him with kicks and with forearms. They got him stuck in the corner. A lucky rabbit's foot, which is a double stomp to the shoulders, I guess, of Matanza from Malasuerte from the top rope. He teases a top rope corner-to-corner dropkick, and then he hops down to hit a dropkick on Matanza, who is being held
now,
by...
Can I stop you there? As someone who knows the names of a lot of wrestling moves and stuff like that, now, a coast-to-coast is going from the one corner that's right there next to you and everything. What would you call going corner-to-corner like that?
It's both literally and geographically pole-to-pole.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
There you go. That was too accurate. I'm sorry. That was... you fed me a good one there. But...
No, that was a great answer. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So Malasuerte teases going pole to pole on the dropkick, but he does hop down off the top rope, hits a normal dropkick of death of sorts into the corner to Matanza, who's being held up by London and Saltador. The Rabbit Tribe now proceeds to hit a barrage of dropkicks, just one after another, an assembly line of dropkicks, if you will. Take a quick pause here. I mean, the Rabbit Tribe, like you said, kind of holding their own a little early on here. What did you think about their strategy, if in fact you think they had one?
Well, I mean, I think if you're gonna get Matanza down, you're gonna have to hit him fast. Like the back of Malo Suerte's shirt says, he does it like a rabbit. You got to just kind of thump them real fast, like they were. And those quick drop kicks in the corner by all three of them looked like they were taking their toll on Matanza.
Yeah, and they were doing a good job of it early on, but it doesn't unfortunately last too long for them. They go to do a little ring in the ring around the rosy spot in the middle of the ring, and they launch London into Matanza in the corner. Matanza catches London, throws him back to the other two, and then drop kicks London into basically knocking down all three of them. He strangles Malasuerte, who's just laying down on the mat. He hits a double-handed choke slam to Saltador, And London starts yelling at him, "You can't do that, you bastard." And Matanza walks over to London, who's sitting on the top rope, and he grabs him by the throat. Saltador Malasuerte come from out of nowhere with confetti eggs. I'm going to leave it here for a second. Confetti eggs, Redneck. What kind of strategy they got going on now?
Like I said, I mean, if you can daze and confuse them, Matanza's a monster, you know, you don't know what kind of monster DNA that Matanza has. You know, if you like he might have cat DNA in him. So, like, you know, cats love yarn, crinkly paper, things like that. So if you get him distracted with stuff like that, you could easily, conquer the beast that is Matanza.
Yeah, there is something intriguing about the rabbit tribe going up against Matanza, and that maybe their childishness or childlikeness could perhaps bring something a little bit, you know, maybe softer out of Matanza, who's sort of just a big monster kid from what we could tell as far as his behavior. But anyway, where were we here? The confetti eggs. We get a couple of kicks from Saltador and Malasuerte to Matanza. They knock him down. We get a shooting star press from London. They all pile on top of Matanza, who kicks out at 2 3/4, I'd say. London goes up top for yet another one. Matanza shakes loose as he just hits Malasuerte into London, who's sitting on the top rope. He throws or kicks Saltador out of the ring. Matanza then hits a superplex to London and a Wrath of the Gods to Saltador. And that's all she wrote. That is it. Matanza is warmed up for El Rey, Rey Mysterio, next week, episode 100 of Lucha Underground. This match was obviously fun to watch, but, what did you think about it overall? You think Matanza's ready for El Rey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think to take on three men such as the Rabbit Tribe and to pretty much, you know, not necessarily dominate them like you would think that a man like Matanza would dominate, but he still pretty much crushed them as he should, the monster that he is. And, Rey's one man. Rey's scrappy. Rey's fought giants before, and he's overcome these great men in his career, and I don't know if Rey's just got it anymore. You know, it is towards the end of his career. I just think Matanza's the hungrier person that's going to be in the ring that night.
Yeah, literally so, probably. I bet Dario, you know, makes him skip a couple meals just in case. It's going to be an encounter. We've seen these two battle before. Rey holds his own against Matanza. You know, he really is truly one of the all-time great luchadors. There's a mystique about Rey Mysterio that obviously gets kicked up several notches in the temple. Matanza, you know, has been as dominant as anybody we've seen here in the temple. I mean, just what a battle. We couldn't wait for Mundo and Mysterio, and here we are 2 weeks later. And it's like, boom, 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, I don't know. It's hard to keep track. The temple's like a time warp. But Rey versus Matanza, wow. In addition to a couple other really good matches on the card, how excited are you for episode 100?
I mean, there's so many great matches going on next week. I got to check my calendar and make sure I can go to the temple. I got to see this stuff live. I mean, it's so amazing to watch the matches that we're going to get and everything. And I mean, I want to personally see. I mean, this might sound a little morbid, but you don't ever really want to see a actual person die in the ring, but the possibility of seeing the great Rey Mysterio just be ripped to shreds by Matanza. I got to be there to watch that live.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a memorable outcome either way. The tension is high. The competitors are fierce. Rey Mysterio is either going to defeat the monster, or the monster is going to, you know, like you said, pretty much tear him to shreds. Either way, it'll be memorable.
Now, this Atomicos match. Now, do they call it Atomicos match because you've got the two nuclei, which are, you know, the nucleus is there. You got Puma and Johnny Mundo, and then his peripheral tag team partners are the electrons. And, you know, do they get eliminated like that? Like if one gets pinned, the electron just kind of floats off?
Wow, you just got you just got super chemical with me, and I don't even understand things right now. I was you started going with nuclei. I honestly, Atomico, I thought may have been a reference to what was going on in North Korea recently. I thought maybe he was just trying to be timely with it. Is that like a regular thing in Lucha
Well,
Libre?
here, let me break it down to normal speak for you. I'll say it a little slower for you. Is it like an elimination match? But like atoms, atomicos?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you. And I know Lucha Libre in general has some fairly loose tag team rules, so I would imagine it would be in favor of less rules rather than more rules. I'm gonna go with this is probably one fall to the finish.
I gotcha, yeah.
But I
Sure.
don't know. I could be totally wrong. It's likely, honestly.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he would do the elimination match, because then we would get Mundo versus Puma probably there at the end, or they were. I don't know. I mean, because I see those two kind of outlasting everybody, anyways.
Yeah, you're right, and it's just yeah. Then he's giving away his big money fight, and God forbid something should happen to either one of them in some sort of elimination match heading into Ultima Lucha 3, Trace rather.
And then we're getting Pentagon and Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah, for an ancient Azteca.
I just feel like that's going to be a medallion for Pentagon and a broken arm for Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah, it just seems so odd that. Well, I guess maybe it's not odd. I guess it just sort of sucks for Puma because you would figure that Rey Mysterio and Azteca Jr. would definitely be people he'd consider to have partners up against Worldwide Underground, and both of them are in other matches, unfortunately, against pretty significant opponents of their own.
Yeah, and maybe Dario set it up that way.
It could very well be. Dario, we know, has apparently had some shit in the works for Rey Mysterio for a long time. I honestly, I'm half expecting him to kidnap Dominic at some point and lock him up in the basement with Matanza.
I mean, what's Phoenix got going on? Is Phoenix going to be at the 100th show?
Brother Phoenix has got
That's
Melissa
right,
Santos going on. He's
Melissa
good.
Santa. No, well, I understand that, but I mean, you think he could be there for Puma? I mean, they've been there for each other before.
It's a possibility. I mean, there's honestly, so like you said before, so many people that Worldwide Underground is pissed off. There's also just a lot of luchadors we haven't seen in a long time, honestly. I mean, if it were me, I don't know. I mean, like I'd probably grab somebody like a Mil Muertes is lying around out there, right? Like I know him and Puma don't get along, but he's out there and he's not on the card that night. So I'd try and scoop up the best people I could. But there's people we haven't seen in a long ass time, like. We haven't seen Mr. Cisco in forever. We haven't seen Bale or Big Rick or Alberto El Patron or the Black Lotus Triad. Like, it could be any of these people. It could be somebody we've
Well, have
never
we
seen
talked
before.
Sexy Star? I mean, because she's got the beef with Taya, so I'm pretty sure she would love to sign up to get in the ring and smash Taya's face. Or
That's.
maybe even break her arm.
That's possible. Yeah, Less Than Sexy Star is not on the card, so it's always, maybe she could make an appearance. I have a very, her and Taya, like you said, have been going on for a little while. They haven't had a one-on-one match yet, at least not in a while. So I'm expecting Dario to maybe hold that off till Ultima Lucha Trace. So yeah, I can imagine she probably wants to get her a shot at Taya now, and if she gets the opportunity, I'm sure she'll take it.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, she seems to be the one that seizes opportunities at a moment's notice.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's more or less it, man. Interesting night at the temple. One of the better nights I think we've ever had at the temple between the Johnny Mundo and Puma, face off of sorts, the
I mean, would
challenge.
you call this a go home show? I mean, 'cause they really ran, they kind of came down last week with kind of the vibe. We didn't really have anybody too special on last week's that came out for the show. And then this week he kind of started to ramp it up slightly going into this 100th episode.
Oh yeah, this was definitely all geared towards, pointing everybody's attention to next week. It's a big day for Lucha Underground, man. I can't believe I've watched 99 episodes of this show. It's like crazy. Or been to the
They
temple
can
99 times for that matter. It's crazy. It's really been quite a ride.
Officially sign up for syndication.
I guess they can, right? Like, and they should. And hopefully we'll get it. I'll watch this all over again. Imagine the stuff we've forgotten, considering the stuff that we've remembered. But yeah, again, a really just spectacular night at the temple. Looking forward to episode 100 next week. anything else we have to say before we go ahead and turn off the highway here and leave Kayfabe County?
Overall great show. I'm excited for next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm right there with you. So let's go ahead and let's get that Twitter stuff out there, because, you know, that's, I guess, how we wrap the show every week.
Yeah, true. At Wrestling Redneck, at RASSLINREDNECK.
All right, and you can find me at WWPNBello. That's WWPN, B as in boy, ELLO. We did it, folks. We did it, and we put our lives on the line. We went into Kayfabe County, and we did it all for the love of Lucha right here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Check us out online, thewwpn.com, at thewwpn on Twitter, and iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Anywhere you can hear a podcast.
Turn on the radio.
Yeah, basically. We're on everything other than AM, FM, and XM. So find something else out. That's it, folks. We'll see you next time. Peace. No! No son campesinos, juegan uniforme, son un guante blanco. Pero los policías estaban esperando cientos de inocentes que eran su blanco. Los de octubre no lo olvidaré.